Naturally occurring black pigments in vegetables, spices, and seeds have been found to have powerful anti-inflammatory effects. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I'm excited about what I think may be the next big thing in anti-inflammatory supplements, a brand new, all-natural daily preventative against a host of possible inflammatory issues. Black for Health liquid extract from Future Farm Botanicals. Black for Health combines four plant-based foods, black garlic, black radish root, black cumin seed, and black peppercorn, containing high levels of body-ready healing botanicals. Black for Health supports your liver, skin, cholesterol, blood pressure, and weight management, circulation, and immunity. It's a tasty supplement with a liposome complex for optimal absorption. For more information or to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's myfuturefarm. Farm, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. So let's proceed with questions.
Yes, we have one from Gail. Hello, what is the correct dose to use to boost immunity? I already take vitamin C in the amount of 1,000 milligrams a day and vitamin D 4,000 IU. Gail is a registered nurse.
That sounds pretty good.
That sounds pretty good.
The thing about vitamin C, though, is it's best to take it in divided doses.
Right. So you don't want to take more than 1,000 milligrams per. Some even will say 500 would be more better absorbed. You don't want to take a 2,500 milligram dose in a single dose of vitamin C. You're not going to absorb all of it.
It might cause some GI distress and, you know, your body will reject it.
And for most people, the upper tolerable limit is about 2,000 milligrams a day. But interestingly, when you get sick, you get a cold or something, you're able to have a higher bowel tolerance for vitamin C. You could probably take as much as 4 or 5,000 milligrams. Mm-hmm. So that could be something. A good dose is 1,000 to 1,500, I think, daily. Gail?
So maybe 500 two or three times a day.
Right.
And divided doses.
Right, in divided doses.
Now, D is different because you can take it
once.
Yeah. So let's say your goal was to take... 4,000 a day is like 28,000 a week.
Yeah.
And so 30,000, I mean, you could technically take six 5,000s on Monday.
Yeah.
Every Monday.
To get
the same as 4,000 a day.
Right. But Gail, if you're taking 4,000 a day, your vitamin D dose will never be stagnant all year long. It will depend on your blood level. So it's a good idea to get checked.
Yep.
We want to see blood levels above 40, definitely. Optimal would be anywhere between 50 and 80, right, around there.
Now, there's a kind of an interesting thing about vitamin D is that in acute cases of COVID-19, high doses seem to really reduce the death rate and the rate at which people go on ventilators.
Wow.
Like really high, like 100,000 in one study, you know, but just at that time.
At that time, that single, that
single. Yeah, like for several consecutive days and then like, you know, for a little while longer. But this is usually in people who come in with very low vitamin D.
They're already deficient.
But there is some evidence that for chronic daily dosing, that there's a sweet spot, that you actually get an immunosuppressive effect if you go too high. So, you know,
Vitamin D is kind of an immune modulator.
Yeah.
So in the setting of autoimmunity, you've got kind of the Goldilocks thing.
Right.
Well, you want
prevention of infection and a good immune defense, but you also want to quell inflammation.
Yeah.
But it's not like vitamin D will cause super immunity and then cause you to have cytokine storm.
Yeah.
That it's not been shown to do that. It actually can be used in autoimmune diseases to tamp down the inflammation, like rheumatoid arthritis and in MS and so on and so on. So, it's a little bit to be determined what the optimal dose of vitamin D is. But I would shoot for a blood level above 40 and between 40 and 70, perhaps.
Right. There you go. And for that reason, depending on what your blood level is, Gail, you're... your dose would change.
I flagged a guy today, interestingly.
Yes.
You know, he had very high levels of vitamin D, and he says, should I keep taking my cod liver oil? And he says, so he was taking fish oil and cod liver oil.
Oh my, yeah.
And I said, look, just take the fish oil pills because you're getting too much vitamin D. Mm-hmm. And he was also taking 5,000 of vitamin D as a supplement, 5,000
right.
IUs.
So he was getting 8 or 9,000 IUs of vitamin D every day.
Or who knows how much because the vitamin D content of cod liver oil varies.
Right.
So I said, just stop the cod liver oil. Just take the fish oil. That's good because he had a heart situation. Mm-hmm. We wanted to do preventive. Mm-hmm.
Right,
it was 114, and it was still too high. Yeah.
So that was
interesting. We didn't want him to stop. We wanted him to back off.
We wanted him to back off, exactly, because we really don't want to see numbers over 100.
That's a good point at which to pause, because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share some vital information with you. So please listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. I know you like that. So back to our questions.
We have an email from Norm. Hi, Doc. I'm a 62-year-old male, and I've been diagnosed with scalp psoriasis. Mm-hmm. And I've been struggling with this for almost a year. It never happened before, except this began mysteriously after I was bit on the scalp by a tick.
Hmm.
I had a very bad reaction to this tick bite. Half my head swelled up.
Mm.
And though I've been thoroughly tested, I don't have any tick-borne diseases. I'm otherwise very healthy, and my doctors don't think that the psoriasis has anything to do with the tick bite.
They're wrong.
But I'm not convinced.
They're wrong. Hmm. There's a well-known phenomenon called the Koebner phenomenon. It's spelled K-O-E-B-N-E-R. Only dermatologists know about this. Yeah, Koebner. Right, because I studied German, so I can. This guy is an interesting guy. In the 1800s, there was this Dr. Koebner, who was kind of an eccentric doctor because he was a mycologist. He studied fungus.
He was a fun guy.
Yeah, he was a fun guy. Yes, very fun guy, because at one of medical conferences, he famously ripped open his shirt to demonstrate the fungal lesions that he had induced on his chest, demonstrating that fungus could cause skin infections. This was actually revolutionary in the year 1850 or something like
that. Wow.
But it was a little weird because it was a lecture. But he literally stripped open his shirt. So he also recognized that either trauma or some kind of infection or, you know, perhaps an insect bite can cause psoriasis to appear.
Huh.
And it's not, even to this day, they don't quite understand it. It has something to do with the immune system of the skin. It becomes sort of exuberant in relationship to some sort of insult.
Huh.
And this guy definitely had an insult because he said he had a lot of redness and
got
swelling
irritated
around the bite. And it triggered a runaway immune response, which is referred to as the Koebner phenomenon. Now, the problem is that doesn't solve the problem. It's like, okay, what do you do now? And you have to treat the psoriasis as you would treat psoriasis. So steroid injections or topical steroids.
Norm was given all kinds of creams and things and something called scalpacin. But he says, believe it or not, I found that the most effective treatment is getting my hair professionally colored.
All right.
I suspect that it's the peroxide used in the coloring process that tamps it down.
Amazing.
But getting my hair colored will keep the psoriasis down for 5 to 7 days.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if you know of any alternative.
Because, like, you know, what does Have you had your hair colored?
I'm still in pandemic mode. It's been a long time.
A personal question, but as a woman, you have some experience with it. It's pretty pricey.
It's very pricey.
Professionally,
it's very pricey, and you're there for about 3 hours. But I have a lot of hair.
They have these colorists. They're like in demand because they're like the stars of
Totally.
Because you think it's like painting a house, but like
no,
to know how it's going to turn out is an art.
Exactly, that's true.
Yeah,
hair colorists. Right. Absolutely. So Norm is wondering if there are any alternatives or nutritional remedies besides having to get his hair colored.
That's wild.
Wow. So, yeah, I get, fish oil, anything to reduce inflammation.
Well, fish oil, vitamin D is helpful. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
The problem is if it's on the scalp, if you're bald, it's okay to get sun exposure. Sun is often helpful
for radiation therapy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Norm, we hope you feel better soon.
Yeah, but it's the, look it up. It's the Koebner phenomenon that he's talking about.
Ah, okay.
It's a little piece of esoteric medical information. I don't know. Do you think that would be a Jeopardy question?
It should be, right? You're still watching Jeopardy on that?
I am.
On TV.
I'm using it to enhance my memory.
There you go. We've got another question here. What is your medical opinion on the drug Xolaire for seasonal asthma? Now, I know this is a MAB. You've talked about the MIBs and the MABs how they work. It's serious medicine.
There's very strong medicines used to treat allergies. Mm-hmm. A new one is Dupixent is along the same lines. There's a lot of advertisements for that on TV. But Xolaire is also in that realm. And it's a powerful medicine. Mm-hmm. It knocks out your IgE. IgE is responsible for allergies in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so, the side effects include, bodily aches and pain, of cold or flu-like symptoms, more congestion or, throat irritation.
Should do just the opposite for crying out loud.
Right.
More congestion.
Right.
Asthma we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Okay. And so, it can affect your voice. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's not for every asthmatic. One thing is like, it's a slam dunk for all the asthma cases. It's only works for asthmatics who have very high eosinophil counts and have not responded to the other, frankly, cheaper and more conventional medicines for asthma.
Yeah.
Such as
the inhalants
and Singulair, which is not an inhaler. It's just a pill.
Your Ventolin.
It works a different thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, look, if all else has failed and that doesn't help, but what else helps asthma? Essential fatty acids. Mm-hmm. We like black cumin seed for asthma. That's one of the newer things that is helpful for respiratory problems.
Borage oil.
Borage oil, certainly.
It's helpful that way. Magnesium may be helpful.
Magnesium for the spasm.
And there's different asthma besides the seasonal.
There are different subtypes of asthma. Yeah.
There's exercise-induced asthma.
And a diet change can make a big difference with asthma.
Sure.
We have patients.
Try getting off dairy altogether.
Getting off
wheat
and dairy
can
we have some patients who say, since I've been off wheat and dairy, my asthma hasn't acted up.
Exactly. There are more and more people being diagnosed with asthma.
Bad air. Hygiene hypothesis,
Polluted air. Yeah. Hygiene hypothesis, most interestingly.
Right.
I find.
Because when people get sick in ordinary ways or get less vaccines, they generally have less allergy. It's sort of a trade-off.
You've described it as a boot camp for the immune system.
Right. For normal immune response.
Right. For normal immune response. So the immune system has something to do, somewhere to learn, something to get primed on.
Right.
Something to deal with. Some kind of adversity.
Well, here
builds immunity fast.
Here's an example.
Builds character fast.
Is one of the little bit esoteric therapies for allergic disorders and autoimmune disorders is to induce parasites. Is to give people harmless roundworms or hookworms.
Yeah.
Because what it does is helminthic therapy. Yes.
Yeah.
It's almost like distracts the immune system, so the immune system reacts to what the humans have been dealing with for, millennia, and which is the natural bacteria and parasites and fungi in the environment. And if you live in a germ-free environment, you know, you don't get that challenge. But then your immune system may direct itself towards innocuous things like cat fur or dairy products or,
you know. Yeah. And even more germ-free is not just our environment, our homes, our, you know, all the disinfectants we're using, especially in this time of pandemic and so forth, but the use of antibiotics.
Yes, massive.
Wiping out all the germs, bad and good. So what is left?
So that, you know, that may account for asthma to some extent. But, you know, also poor air quality, for sure.
Poor air quality, right. Right. So it's almost ironic, Dr. Hoffman, that we're more germ-free, we're cleaner, right? Hygiene, all
cleaner
of that.
Cleaner and sicker.
But and sicker because there's more pollution.
Right.
There's more toxicants in the air.
Yeah, we, you know,
we are more toxic.
Read The Dirt Cure by Maya Shetreat Klein, who is a, it's a weird middle name. Shetreat, Shetreat is her middle middle name, or it's her hyphenated
Shetreat.
Maiden name. Maya Shetreat Klein. She's been a guest on my radio program, and she is a pediatrician. I believe she may be a pediatric neurologist, and she actually has written a book called The Dirt Cure, which advances the hygiene hypothesis as a cause for a lot of childhood diseases.
Interesting.
You know, and also, like, you know, glyphosate and processed foods and stuff like that.
Which
cause that leaky gut and, you know, disrupt the microbiome. I mean, it's a perfect storm for immune dysregulation.
Yeah, to take place. And then add to that so many childhood vaccinations. But that's another topic.
Right.
Okay.
Let's not go there today.
So we have a final question here. This is from Pat.
Yeah.
And Pat is a dietitian.
Oh, good.
And she says, thank you so much for your program and podcast that I've been listening to since you started on radio.
It's high praise that a dietitian is listening to this because it's a total busman's holiday for a dietitian because that's what they do all day long. And then they recreate that way.
And then they recreate
I mean, they could be watching, you know, Ozark, you know, on Netflix.
Right.
Watching.
Oh, that, I binge watched that one. That was so good.
Yeah.
So Pat says, I was a registered hospital dietitian in the 60s.
Ooh.
And then raised five children and thoroughly believe in the power of good food for health. Learning more every day about nutrition from you both. God bless you both. Thank you, Pat. That's very nice. So Pat thought she was maybe sending us a question, but she was actually telling us her story of irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay.
More the diarrhea type.
Okay.
So she was sensitive to nightshade foods as well as dairy. She started staying away from those. White flour, not organic, was also
She's
off the list.
She's going through the usual things.
Exactly, the usual things. She even tried eliminating FODMAPs and so forth.
A low FODMAP diet.
Yeah. So, and then she started taking probiotics, a particular probiotic, and that has to do more about being kind of passing through the stomach acid, so to speak, and being able to open in the gut. In the gut.
It's enterically coated.
Enterically coated. And she noticed that after starting that kind of a regimen, she started getting more formed stool. She had less pain in her hands. So some inflammation was starting to go away. And she says, I began to notice I could eat a couple of spoons of my husband's ice cream.
Oh, she started to tolerize to the foods that she
started
was
to
intolerant
to. Exactly.
Oh.
Exactly. So she says, I could eat some of my husband's ice cream. I could eat the beautiful Jersey tomatoes and have some mashed potatoes without having pain. She was able to have nightshades again to some degree.
Did she specify what species of probiotic that was?
No, it was a particular formulation.
Okay.
Some particular...
We can mention it. Go ahead.
It's a Dr. Sinatra's Gut Restore Advanced.
Okay. So, you know, my comment on that is, you know, people can definitely try it, but it's not going to be a panacea for everyone.
That's true.
It's kind of, probiotics is kind of like a lock and key. And, you know, she got lucky that that really worked well for her.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a little trial and error administering probiotics to people with GI problems. And in fact, it can backfire. Because
that's true.
If you have SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth, and you overpopulate with too many probiotics,
It's going to feed the wrong stuff.
You can make it worse.
Yeah. More SIBO.
Not necessarily, but you have to be careful.
Yeah.
We got a, did you see the email today from a patient who took Saccharomyces for her IBS and said, IBSD, diarrhea predominant IBS. You didn't see that email?
I didn't, no.
But the person, I mean, it's nice to get feedback from people because we tell them to do this and that. We don't know whatever happens. And it's nice when people just write it one line, you know, like, I tried this and it didn't work or it did work.
Yeah.
She tried the Saccharomyces. The Saccharomyces really helped the symptoms.
There you go.
So.
And Saccharomyces is pretty much made for diarrhea.
Yeah.
Or urgency.
It is. We tend to use that more for diarrhea and urgency.
And you know what? It's a good idea to also take Saccharomyces boulardii when you're taking an antibiotic.
Yes.
Not better with than the antibiotic.
Better than a regular probiotic.
Yes. Better than a regular probiotic.
According to the studies. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So when you're taking an antibiotic, also take Saccharomyces boulardii, S. boulardii, but you want to take them at least 2 hours away from each other.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait until after your 10-day antibiotic regimen is over.
But let me point out,
take it.
Yeah. Saccharomyces is not a bacteria, as
no,
you know.
It's a yeast.
It's a yeast. Yeah.
But it's a good yeast, so to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, they're...
So the advantage is it won't be killed.
Right.
Even if you take it a little too close to your antibiotic.
Yes.
And what it does, apparently, it is, you say yeast, that's bad because, you know, yeast is going to...
All yeast is bad. No, not so.
But it's a yeast that counteracts candida, which is a different species of yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to have an a fungus that has a bit of an antifungal effect.
Yeah.
But it also fosters a helpful balance of bacteria. You know, some people have analogized the role of probiotics to like the role of a conductor or a magistrate. You know, that orchestrates the other bacteria or a general, you know, that, you know, without, you have a disorganized army and it's a mess and you bring in a general or a commanding officer and you can better coordinate the activities of that chaotic army.
Yeah.
And that's what certain probiotics do for people is they don't necessarily take over, but they may have a sort of an influential effect on the other bacteria. It's unclear precisely how that works. Research underway.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of research on fecal transplants now.
Oh my, yeah.
Another new study on fecal transplants for C. difficile, which is a very challenging problem because the antibiotics don't work anymore for this
and
type of diarrhea.
It's been really helped.
It's been life-saving. It's very, very well tolerated. Works like a charm.
Mm-hmm. Crohn's disease. Inflammatory bowel diseases.
Just beginning. It's not quite established yet, but you know, if you can get the right look, it's all about the donor. Got to have a healthy donor.
And sometimes you need to do a repeat after several months or so. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating.
Yeah, like a recharge. But the first one works, and then it wears off, and then you do a second one. Very few of the patients needed more than a couple.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's terrific.
The power of poo.
The power of poo,
right. But, you know, hopefully we'll be able to discover what that is so it's a little less unappetizing, you know, when you get there. It's like maybe we can get it in a, you know, nice enteric-coated capsule and, you know, avoid the ick factor associated with fecal transfer. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. You know, I could just see that, like, you know, on the, you know, NBC Nightly News. And now for a word from our sponsors. Fecal transfer.
Get your poop pills.
I don't know how they're going to sell that. Is it going to really be a challenge for Madison or Avenue to like? I think they'll have like a nice soft music, and there'll be like happy people at going to a like a pizza place or something, and devouring pizza, and like after taking poop pills, it's like. This could be you.
This could be you. Oh, no.
You can eat the foods you like and not worry about it.
Reminds me of the Pepsi commercial, Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
You know, you get heartburn, well, take this first and then go eat that corn dog or I don't know what. That's
Larry
spicy.
The Cable Guy was the celebrity for that?
I think so,
So that's the drug that Trump got. Pepsid AC.
Pepsid AC.
Which turns out to be helpful for COVID-19, I swear.
Oh, isn't that something?
There's a study that shows that if you take the Pepsid AC, it'll reduce your chance of getting sick or dying from COVID-19.
Wow. People are going to run to the store now.
They gave it to Trump.
Hmm. Okay.
It's the pretty much what Larry the Cable Guy was having.
Wow. So he could have that sausage sandwich at midnight and then go to bed and not have nightmares
and tweet. Anyway.
Oh, golly.
So, okay. Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Q&A with Layla. Thank you for your questions. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. Keep some of these great questions and comments coming. And if you have an experience you want to share with our listening audience, like the guy who uses hair coloring to treat his psoriasis.
Yes.
You know,
right.
We want some of those handy hints.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Hoffman. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Layla. Stay safe, everybody. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.